but...
How you doing? Thank you for coming out to the Vineyard this morning. How are we doing back there, Solomon? Are you doing okay? Welcome to those of you here. Welcome to our friends online. And this morning, we're going to continue our series on fire and life. Before we do, I've got a question for you. Have you ever been lost? And I don't mean like the Duluth lost, like, why are there six streets at this intersection? I mean really lost in unfamiliar territory. A number of years ago, my family gave me one of the best Father's Day presents I've had, 2 days off to go camping and fishing by myself. So I drove up 61 up the North Shore to a place that we had been to before. And I got to a trout stream that I knew of, I thought I was pretty familiar with, or so I thought. I arrived at the river in the morning. It was one of these like wet June days that had been raining overnight. The woods were sopping wet. It was pretty lousy weather for doing anything but fishing. So I threw on my waders, grabbed my fly rod, headed out alongside the trail, alongside the river. And I had been here before, like I said, and I knew that I had always walked up the river, but I was walking up this trail, and I knew I was okay because there was yellow marking tape in the trees. Came to a bit, walked a bit, came to this little swamp, little spruce swamp, and I thought, I'm going to be smart this time. Because in the past, I'd always kind of walked along the river and taken too much time. I said, I'll just make a little shortcut, a little detour. So I made a little detour around the swamp. Walked a little bit longer, looked up, still saw my marking tape, came to a bigger swamp, and I was like, not sure if I remember this or not. But I did the same thing, walked around it, got to the other side, and something broke my concentration. I think one of those things where I bent down, I tied my shoelace, and I stood up, and I was like, where in the heck am I? And I look up into a little balsam tree there, and in the tree was orange marking tape. It's like, shoot, shucks, gosh darn it. Now at the time, all honesty, I might have used different language than that. You ever been there? Lost in unfamiliar territory? Now, of course, on the trip, I had a compass with me, safely back at the car. At course, I had a roll of flagging tape with me to keep from getting lost. You guessed it, also back in the car. And of course, I had my DeLorean map back in the car. So all the things that I could have used to get me out of this mess were pretty useless to me. Have you ever been there? A place where the familiar, the predictable, the safe suddenly wasn't? Maybe it's that great boss at your job. She's smart. She always seems to know what to do, is fair and compassionate, a great leader. And you just know that you're going to follow her all the way to the top. And one day she bounces into your office with a big smile on your face and she said, guess what? I just filed my retirement papers. Or maybe it's that relationship that you know is going to make all your dreams come true. That boy or girl that makes it worthwhile to get up in the morning. And you find out that you are not in their future. Or maybe it's your health that gives you hope, your physical abilities, and that's everything is going great until the doctor comes back into the office with a somber look in your face, and suddenly everything in your life changes. No, my dad used to say that the difference between just being turned around and being lost is this. If search and rescue has to come and find you, you were lost. If you get your own way out of the woods, you are just turned around for a bit, a day or two, maybe. Now, after pulling out all the woodsman tricks, I knew I was able to extract myself from that situation. And when I got back to my car, I consulted my map and I figured out what had gone wrong, that I had always walked alongside the river because there was a big corner pool where it always held fish. A corner. That was the problem. The river had taken a big left turn to the southeast, and I had kept going straight west. And looking at the map, it was several sections over 7 miles to the next road. If I had not found my way out of there, I think I'd still be wandering around out there. So today we're going to talk about what happens when we're faced with those corners in life, when the predictable, when the things that we have placed our hope in fail us, and what we can place our hope in to guide us through life. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, come. Lord, we know that, just like Brian said, man, there are concerns in our life today, both privately, individually, things we are bringing here today, and things out there in the world that just seem so huge and so beyond our capability of changing. And Father, we just ask to bring your kingdom both to us here today, to our Duluth community, and to the world, more and more of your will be done here. And Father, I just ask you to bless the words that I bring today. Amen. So we are doing something a little bit different today. Today I'm going to be preaching out of a little bit different version that might be some of you might be unfamiliar with. This is the First Nations version of the New Testament. This was a version of the scriptures that was developed with some Native American theologians and Wycliffe Bible translators. And Wycliffe has been doing this for a long, long time. They've translated over 700 languages over the past 80 years. It created scriptures out in native languages. In some cases, they've even had to like create written languages for folks that had no written language. And one of the reasons I'm doing this is, you know, I'm always looking for fresh ways to experience the Gospels, the stories of the New Testament, and I'm always looking for fresh language to explain the kingdom of God and understand the kingdom of God. So I've titled this message, Dancing on the Trail of Tears, because this morning we're going to learn with Peter that we share all the blessings that Jesus received from his Father. And because of that, we can experience hope even in the middle of life's most difficult troubles. So you can find this in the Bible app. It's not in Bible Gateway. Or if you want to order your own copy, you can get this on Amazon.com. Probably won't be delivered by the time we're done here today. But I'm going to read out of this, and you can follow along in whatever translation you prefer or the Bible's in front of you. So starting the verse 3. All blessings belong to the Great Spirit, the Father of our honored chief, Creator sets free, Jesus, the chosen one. In his great mercy, when he raised Creator sets free, the chosen one from the dead, we were given new birth and our hope came to life. For we now share with the chosen one all the blessings he has received. New birth. And John talked about this last week, that at one point all of us were spiritually undead, not alive. We had no hope, no future blessings. But now for those of us who have placed our hope in Jesus, our hope came to life. So this begs a question. What is hope? Now I'm pretty sure what hope isn't is the, this year, I just know the Vikings are going to draft their franchise quarterback. A lifelong fan, I don't know how to break it to you. That might be delusion, not hope. Hope is grounded in reality. Hope is grounded in something we can see, taste, touch, feel, experience. We have to have good reason for hope, for that anticipation. So let's think about the things we put our hope in. Or maybe it's things that we have been told that we can place our hope in. A quick scroll through social media, right? We'll tell you all the things that you can place your hope in. A good job, a healthy bank account, youth, good looks, charisma, intelligence, great friends. And if you're Clint Constantine, you're going, check, 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 check. But for the rest of us who aren't Clint, a few questions. What are your answers to questions like this? It will be all right when I have... dot, dot, dot. Everything will be just fine when... dot, dot, dot. Or when I get that, then I'll be happy. What's your answer to that? Is it the new job? Is it a relationship? Your health? Millions of followers on TikTok or Instagram? Now, there's nothing inherently wrong with jobs or friends or influence, right? I mean, we all need those things. But the thing that Peter is trying to hammer to us now is there's a difference between perishable things, stuff that can change. Anybody remember 2008 and your 401k, you know, right? Perishable things and imperishable things that are kept in heaven. And so Peter is asking us a very simple question. What are you placing your hope in? Because this new life, this salvation that those of us who have trusted in Jesus, Peter's saying, that's the only thing that's going to sustain us when life gets hard. That's the only thing that, in the words of this text, can carry us to the end of the trail. Let's go to verse 4 there. These shared blessings are kept safe in the spirit world above, where they will never grow old, become impure, or fade away. Creator's plan to set you free and make you whole is ready to be fully revealed when the time for the end has come. Until then, you are kept safe by trusting in Creator's power. So what are these shared blessings? First of all, like John talked about last week, and Peter is making the big point here, is it's salvation. It's knowing that one day we are going to be in complete and total union with God. Complete face-to-face, Paul says in Corinthians, when we see him face-to-face, and all our questions, all our doubts, all our tears are going to be wiped away. Now, here's the amazing thing. We get a taste of that freedom and that presence right now. The church that I grew up in was very much a, like, you know, I love these people, right? So don't think, if you're listening out there online, I love you. My sister is still a pastor at the church that I grew up at, so you're doing great. It was very much a, like, this life is kind of a suck sandwich, and every day is just another big bite. But someday, in the future, everything's going to be just great. The thing is, that is not the gospel promise that we've received. Every weekend here at the Duluth Vineyard, on Sundays when we gather together, during the week in small groups, all over the place, We experience the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit that is making that future reality a thing now among us. Jesus promised his disciples when he left that they would not be left alone, that he was going to send another comforter, the Spirit who is going to be with them as he returned to the Father. And we experience that in countless numbers of ways. I've experienced that already this morning. Wasn't worship amazing? This morning in worship, did you kind of feel some sense of it when Zine and the team, when they were like making some open space, that there was almost like a heaviness, like someone had turned up the atmospheric pressure in the room? That is the power, the presence of the Holy Spirit among us. We are not left alone, folks. But, Peter said in verse 6, you dance for joy now, even though you know the day is coming. For a short time, you may have to walk a trail of tears because of the many kinds of troubles you are facing. And in the Vineyard, we talk about this tension of the kingdom of God that has already come and began or inaugurated in the ministry of Jesus and the sending of the Spirit, but has yet to be fully consummated at the end. We're living between the times. So we see healings, but not everyone is healed. We see people come to faith, but not everyone that we want to turns their life to Jesus. We see triumph over sin and victory and people change, but not always to the degree that we want. We're in the middle of this tension to live with. Folks, if you're looking for some place that's going to tell you that everything is just picking daisies in the sunshine and the world is great and you will face no troubles, this is not the place for you, okay? Because we are firmly committed to the fact that we are living in the middle of this tension, and yes, we face victory. Yes, we see the Holy Spirit, but in the middle of oftentimes great pain. I love how my friend Dennis Edwards, who is a professor at North Park Seminary, go Evangelical Covenant Church, says it in his commentary on Peter. The life of faith in Jesus is one of a dynamic tension where believers are simultaneously pulled in two directions. On the one hand, followers of Jesus are pulled upward. We are heirs to the promises of a secured future. We are God's children and special possession. And on the other hand, we believers are dragged downward towards life's corruption. Satan has influence in this world, and there is also the personal struggle to resist sin and the old patterns of life. To compound matters, living as witnesses of Jesus may cause us to suffer on account of our faith, since we attract the ire who oppose him and his message. I could go on and on and on in this topic. As a matter of fact, that's why they made me do a weekend thing, you know, so I could go on and on in this topic Friday night and Saturday. So if that interests you, you can register online or talk to someone around here about how to get connected with that. So the kingdom has come in the ministry of Jesus, and one day will be completed. But for now, we walk the trail of tears. This truth was brought clear to me a number of years ago when I went to a Vineyard service on a Sunday night. And at the time, I worked for a ministry that served at-risk and homeless teenagers. And I went to this, very much like we're doing this worship night coming up on the 21st, I went to this evening thing. It was great, and afterwards, like we do here, I went forward to get prayer, and I don't even remember what I wanted prayer for at the time. It was probably provision, because I had to raise my own salary support or something. But I went up the front, and because there was way more people coming up to get prayer than there were people praying, I stood and waited. So I was there in the front and just listening to the worship and waiting. And eventually this dude came up to me that I never met, I didn't know. And I was waiting for him to ask the question, like we do here. What would you like prayer for? Only he didn't. He just stood there, and I could hear him kind of quietly praying for himself. You know, and I'm sitting there, and every once in a while, I'm like, open my eyes. Is he still there? He's still there. Okay. Didn't ask me the question. And finally, he spoke. I want to know Christ to the power of his resurrection and participate in the fellowship of his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. It's like, all right. I want to know Christ, to know the power of his resurrection, and participate in the fellowship of his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. By now I'm like, okay, good. The Bible verse, that's nice, you know. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and participate in the fellowship of his sufferings. Turns around and leaves. That was it. I was like, okay. So I went and sat down and listened to the rest of the service, and I was like, well, it's not quite, you know, what I was hoping to get out of this thing. And kind of was like, I don't know, this happens sometimes, whatever, until a couple nights later. It was a Tuesday night, and that Tuesday night is when we did a middle school Bible study and at the ministry, and I had come home, and I was getting ready for bed, and the phone rings. And it's one of my coworkers, and informs me that one of our favorite kids, a 15-year-old kid named Josh, had taken his life that night. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and share in the fellowship of his sufferings. You see, God was faithful to know that that's what I would need in the future. That was the hope that I would need in the future. And over the next weeks and time, when we planned the funeral and met with his mother and his younger brother and continued to minister to all these kids that were just completely destroyed by losing their friend, again and again and again, we saw the Holy Spirit meet us. And again and again and again, God brought this verse back to me as a reminder that he knows what we are going through, and he is in control, and in the presence and power of the Spirit, we can have hope. So, how do we dance for joy in the midst of pain and suffering? Peter says in verse 7, these troubles will test the purity of your trust in him, just like the fire tests the purity of gold. Your trust in him is worth more than gold that can fade away. And after you have passed through the fire and come out pure, it will bring praise, honor, and shining greatness to Creator sets free Jesus, the chosen one, when he is revealed. You know, when I was a kid, there was a cultural expectation that basically everyone went to church, right? Didn't matter if you were an insurance salesman or a plumber or a small business owner or a school teacher or whatever, attending church or belonging to a church or being known as a church attender wasn't just an expectation and, to some degree, an advantage. After all, what kind of lunatic would buy a used car from someone who didn't attend church? Am I right? No, well, of course, John isn't here, but caveat, no one actually expected lawyers to attend church, but the point is there was a cultural and social expectation that, sorry, lawyer joke, cultural expectation that you would attend church. Times have changed, right? According to a recent survey, 80% of U.S. adults say religion's role in American life is shrinking. That shift away from religion is even starker among young adults, with 43% of 18 to 29-year-old Americans responding none when asked which religion they follow. But here's a crazy thing. Even if participation in formal religious services maybe is declining, that's what we're being told all the time. The exploration and practice of other spiritual things like tarot or Ouija and other content using spirit guides, consulting psychics, is exploding. In the spring 2024 Duluth Community Education Newsletter, there are 7 courses available dealing with alternative spiritualities, with class titles such as History of Magic and the Occult, Tarot Class for Beginners, Paranormal Retreat, Crystals and Healing. There are even courses for paranormal investigation, Ghostbusters, I guess. And for those who want more, yes, there is an advanced course, Paranormal Investigation 102, for you overachievers. We are in a very different world, folks. But I find that fascinating, don't you? In a world where supposedly organized religion, people are abandoning that, but they are still asking the big questions of life. Do I matter? Am I loved and known? How can I have a better, more fulfilling life? Where can I find hope for the future? I shared a word about something that happened to me a long time ago. Here's something Holy Spirit moving in our community very recently. Last summer, one of our worship evening nights, where it was one of the nights we were kind of focusing on lament and all the stuff that we're going through last year as a community. And during that service, my wife Sandy had come up front and she was right down here crying and lamenting about all of the things that we're going through, all the hurt and pain in our community and in the city. And God gave her a picture, a vision. And what we mean by this is like, she didn't like, it was like an image in her mind, a series of pictures that sometimes those of us who are familiar with this stuff, we get used to, huh, Holy Spirit is talking to me. And this is what she said. The ground right here where she was kneeling, she saw as being like hard, baked earth, dry, cracked, like a desert. And as she stood there, her tears were hitting the ground, and they were changing that hard, baked soil into like dark, earthy soil. And then in turn, the next image, that soil, little green shoots begin to pop up all over here. And those shoots grew up into a beautiful field of wildflowers. And this is what cornflowers. Yes, she's a gardener. So yeah, God speaks to you in the way that is familiar and comfortable and makes sense to you, right? She's a gardener in things. God speaks to her in flower and mushroom pictures, okay? This is the word that she felt that God was saying, was that the tears, her tears, and the tears of this church are not going to be wasted. Out of the pain and the confusion and the hurt that many of us have been feeling here, those tears are going to bring a beautiful harvest. And then the Spirit brought to her mind the Bible verse from Psalms 126, those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. How many of you have just started attending this community in the last year? Raise a hand. Anyone? Okay. How many of you have started attending in the last couple years, 2 or 3 years, maybe pandemic or since, right? You guys are the harvest. This word is becoming fulfilled among us right now. Every single day in this community, God is bringing this to a reality. The tears that many of us have been sowing, that many of you have been sowing, they are not going to be wasted. Because we've been through some stuff in the last year, right? Dancing for joy in the midst of trouble. So verse 8, you have never seen him, yet you love him. You cannot see him now, yet you trust him. And this makes your heart so glad that you cannot find words beautiful enough, so you have to dance for joy. Dancing for joy in the midst of trouble, even suffering, it's crazy. That is nuts, right? Because the thing is, I know that some of us here today are dealing with stuff that, you want to talk about troubles. I've got more than just troubles, right? I've got significant stuff going on, and you're telling me that I'm supposed to be dancing for joy? You're nuts. But the truth of the matter is, as Peter is telling us, that we can live in both of those spaces at the same time. That we can live in the midst of the pain and the difficulty and the suffering in this life, and at the same time, experience the joy of the presence of God with us, and know that because of that presence, one day, all our tears are going to be wiped away. God is going to make everything new. Can we be so filled with joy that we can dance in the middle of sufferings? That's the challenge that is put to us in this test. And how do we experience this hope? Verse 9, Peter says, for your trust in him is bringing you to the end of the trail where your whole being will be set free and made hope. I know some of us, man, that purify by fire, you are in the fire right now. In the last, in preparing for this message, for this talk, I had a number of friends that brought this up that said they as Christians, as believers, they have been recently encouraged, forced, put in difficult situations to do things that were against their beliefs. And in the midst of that, it probably is no surprise, I'm talking about things like having to participate in a fun game of tarot cards, you know, at work or in their school situation or a retreat with friends. If you're not in the midst of the fire, newsflash, at some point you will be, right? That's the reality of living are living in this broken world. But the scriptures have told us that. Here's the point of me sharing all of this stuff and like these prophetic stories. Our hope isn't just looking forward to some blessed future. Yes, it is that, as Peter says, our salvation is living and active. But hope is also here in the present, right now. And so this morning, we're going to continue to experience the power of the Holy Spirit among us. But before we go into that, a few questions I'd like you to ponder. What are you placing your hope in? Are there things that you have placed your hope in that have recently failed you? Things that you know are fragile, that cannot carry the weight that you have placed in them, that can't deliver what you truly need. Where do you need hope today? And are you ready to start over? So here's what we're going to do with this morning, experiencing this power and presence of the Holy Spirit, is I'm going to invite, again, the Spirit to come in power. It's not like the Spirit hasn't been here in the meeting. I know that it has. Many of you are experiencing that. We're going to ask for just an increased amount of God, to put it plainly. And then we're going to wait a few minutes and I'm going to ask that for those of you that are familiar with this, I'm going to ask you some questions and maybe ask you to do some things outside your comfort zone as we close up, and then we'll call the ministry team up and worship team up and close this thing out. But first this, I'm going to just bear with me and I pray. Come Holy Spirit, Lord, we thank you so much for your presence among us. Lord, for your presence in the midst of the fire, for your presence when things are going great and blessed, and for your presence when things aren't going so hot and we are being opposed, even persecuted for our faith in you. And Holy Spirit, I ask that you would just come and move on us now. Could I have the lights on, please? Thank you. Lights off. Lights on. I didn't know that could happen that easy. That's amazing. Thank you. Come, Holy Spirit. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray. We're just going to sit a few moments. Come, Holy Spirit. Pour out your Spirit upon us, Lord. So if this is new for you, or if this is something you're unfamiliar with, those of us who have, you know, kind of experienced this before and kind of got recognized the signs of the Spirit's coming, oftentimes it feels like, again, like someone turned up the atmospheric pressure in the room that's just heavy. Like you feel almost like you have to sink. Sometimes it feels like, personally, like you have a fever, like you're super hot, like your own personal temperature is going up, 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 up. So think about this. This is the power that raised Jesus from the dead, okay? When it hits you, not surprising, stuff is going to happen, right? You're going to respond physically. This is the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And so some of you might be feeling that awareness, a deep sense of peace. Maybe you came in here with troubles, you came in here with anxiety, you came in here with fears, and you're just feeling anxiety's gone. A deep sense of peace, a deep awareness that God is with you. Some of you might be having like a Bible verses come through your head, maybe verses of comfort, maybe verses that have been meaningful to you in the past. Accept those as God speaking to you right now. Those are not interruptions. So don't say like, okay, God, get away from me. I'm trying to like pray or listen to the dude up front, you know. No, that's God speaking to you right now, bringing those thoughts, bringing those verses to you. In some cases that he said, even physical reactions, you might feel like your body is even shaking or trembling or responding that way. There could be a range of things. The thing is, there's no pattern. God knows you. The Holy Spirit knows you and how to reach you. And this is all very, very individual because he cares about you as a person. He cares about reaching and touching you. And so whatever's happening to your neighbor might not be happening to you, and maybe it looks different every time. But if any of those things I just mentioned, if you feel that that applies to you, you're experiencing that, could you just raise your hand for me? That you feel that power of the Holy Spirit in that way? Thank you. I want you to do something else. I want you to stand up, those of you who just raised your hand. And I know there's probably more of you that raised your hand that, you know, if that was you now, thank you, thank you, thank you. Come Holy Spirit. Come Holy Spirit. Lord, we bless what you're doing here among these people. Lord, we bless what you are bringing to their mind. And Father, we pray for more of you, Lord, more of your power. Lord, we ask you to pour your blessings out on this community, Lord, that we might be a shining light in Duluth and the Twin Ports. Come, Holy Spirit. You guys can keep standing for a minute. Now I want to talk to another group of you, and just keep receiving from the Lord. Whatever is going on, whatever he's speaking, just sit in that and, you know, tune me out if you have to or whatever. Just keep receiving from the Lord. Because I think there's another group of folks here today that are like, this whole talk of hope and even salvation, all this stuff, is just like, I have no idea what you're talking about, dude. I just came here so my roommate would stop bugging me. I'm just here because my boyfriend or girlfriend, so they just shut up about attending church. I don't know what you're talking about. Well, if that's you, I want to offer you an opportunity to turn your life over to Jesus right now, right here. We see this, it's the flowers, right? It's the harvest. We see this every single day. I know this is weird, and this is a little like, we don't do these kind of things in northern Minnesota. You know, I'm Swedish, I get it, right? You know? But I'm going to ask you to do something very bold. I'm going to ask you to do something a little. If you feel that you want a piece of this, that whatever this is, then you've never turned your life over to Jesus. You never surrendered your life to Jesus. There is no better time than now. I would like to invite you to do that right now with us. God has been pursuing you and pursuing you and pursuing you and pursuing you. And whether it was you were drug here or whether you came here because you like coffee or whatever the reason might be, God drew you here now and he wants to meet with you. So if that's you, I want to encourage you to do similar with these other. Raise your hand. Say, I'm done. These things that I place my hope in are not, they're not working. I need something else. I've tried that other stuff. It goes nowhere. God is speaking to you. If you feel that that's landing on you, I want you to raise your hand, just like I ask these people. Come, Holy Spirit, do your work among us. In a few minutes, worship team is going to come up, or the prayer ministry team is going to come up, and there's going to be people in the front. And if you're standing now, I would encourage you, we'll need some people on the worship team too, I would encourage you to come forward and get prayer for whatever is going on. If you're hearing this and you're just like, well, I feel some stuff and this, I'm not sure what's going on, even if you're not standing, I encourage you to come forward and receive prayer. Holy Spirit is here. The Holy Spirit is moving among us. God wants to know you. God wants to share this relationship with you. So ministry team people, you can make your way to the front. I'm going to turn it over to the worship team, and Brian is going to come up now. Online and present here. Thanks for coming to the Vineyard. Have a great day.